Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Hey, everybody, this is James Moses Black, and you are listening to TV Confidential with one of my best friends.
The casting reflects America.
To use our perspective to show just what this looks like and feels like for Americans that don't look like the historical Ben Franklin, the historical John Adams, the historical Tom Jefferson.
Ed Robertson along with the guest Gisela Adisa. Gisela currently stars as John Adams in the national tour of 1776, the musical, a reimagined production of the Tony Award-winning musical that is currently playing at the Center for Performing Arts in San Jose, California through Sunday, May 21st, and which is scheduled to come to Durham, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, Nashville, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., many other cities over the course of the summer, with more cities and more dates scheduled to come. For tickets and more information, whether you want a ticket that goes for $17.76 or a better seat, go to 1776musical.com, 1776musical.com. Gisela Adisa stars as John Adams in 1776, the musical, although I understand, Gisela, that when you originally joined the cast, you were cast as a different character.
That is right. I was Robert Livingston, and I got to tell you, never heard of the man for the role. College educated, never heard of the man. But he was one of the members of Congress. He was New York congressman, representative. I'm from New York, so we have that in common. What we do not have in common is his whole family. He just inherited like over 160,000 acres of land that came from, and then some, that came from the crown to, I think, his great or his grandfather. And so he came from this crazy amount of wealth. I learned that about him. I learned that he actually never signed the Declaration. A cousin of his signed it. He wasn't actually available to sign it at the time. Now, in the show, there's a big dramatic moment involving him possibly signing it. I don't want to ruin it for anyone listening. But I had a really great time introducing myself to all these people, all these men who signed that are a part of history. And quite honestly, I don't know about you, but I didn't know a lot of their names. You know, we know about John Hancock with his big signature. He's the first person to sign it. And of course, we know about the people who would eventually become presidents, like Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. Maybe some people know James Wilson, but for the most part, it was a great education for me. It was fun because I got to play this person that I would never think I'd play. But yeah, I played Robert Livingston, and I covered John Adams. Only went on once, and I didn't go on until the tail end of the Broadway run. But yeah, it was quite an experience to kind of, looking back, like I had almost a year of auditing the role of John Adams, watching two different people do it. The first being Crystal Lucas Perry, who's recently nominated for a Tony for her work in Ain't No More, which is just like well-deserved, and I'm just so happy for her. And then the second person was Crystalyn Lloyd, who came in to replace Crystal when Crystal left to do Ain't No More. So I just feel really just honored and just mind blown to be one of the three, you know, African American female Tawn Adams. I still feel that way. We're halfway through our tour, and I'm just still so excited to do it.
You may have touched on this, but how did you go from being Robert Livingston to Jot Adams?
Well, quite honestly, I think it was just a thing of economics. And I know, like, if any of my friends or cast members are hearing this, I'll be like, Gisella, you got the role because you deserve the role. I'm not going to say I don't deserve the role, because I definitely worked my butt off to learn it while I was playing Robert Livingston, because I covered. So that meant, you know, God forbid if Crystal got sick or got COVID, which was definitely still a thing last March, April, you know, that last summer into the fall, we did the show at Harvard University's American Repertory Theater. So I was covering, so while playing my role, I was also covering Crystal as John Adams and also covering Abigail Adams, who also plays Reverend Witherspoon, and I was supposed to cover Hancock as well. So it's a lot of material, a lot of material, and they're all like lead roles. So I worked my butt off focusing on John, and then the Broadway show came, and shortly before we opened, we got the news that Crystal would be moving on to Ain't No More, and I let the creative team know right away I would love to be considered, knowing damn well I would be. That's how the business works, but you know, you got to shoot your shot. You got to shoot it.
That's right. Actors have a team behind them to support them, but at the end of the day, you have to drive the bus at some point.
That's right. Now, before I went and shot my shot, I definitely contacted my agent, Eddie, over at Hickory Talent, and said, hey, by the way, this is happening. They already have a short list of people to replace her, but I feel like I should say something. And he's like, say something. So I did. I just explained, you know, the work I did, the contract before, and I'm more than ready. And I got the response that I expected, which was, thank you for advocating for yourself. We'll definitely keep it in mind. You know, we're talking to someone at the moment. We'll let you know if anything changes. And of course, I knew the answer would be no, but sometimes you gotta look people in the eye if you can, or in the email, and say, I know I can do this, for them to have the confidence or even the realization that you can do this. And I think that had something to do with my now being in this role. But I got the offer from the touring company to play John. I got it in, I think, the first week of November. So I'm honestly not sure what that was based on, because at that point I hadn't had that one chance to go on, and I'd never really done it outside of understudy rehearsal, which we would have every Wednesday and Thursday, or every Thursday and Friday, practically living at the theater. So, like, rose-colored glasses on, I got this job, and this, I guess you could see it as a promotion. I think it's an ensemble piece, but people seem to want to think John is the lead, so I got this promotion, in quotes, because of that hard work and because I advocated for myself, and I believe in doing that wholeheartedly. I don't think I would have ever done that when I was younger, but I'm glad I did it. But realistically speaking, taking off the glasses, I think the fact that I had already had the show in my head, among other actors who played small roles and now are in the lead roles they covered, like Nancy Anderson, Onika Phillip, Liz Michael, we all moved from our smaller featured roles into these lead roles, and we all covered those roles before or played those roles on stage and did well. So I think that has a lot to do with it. It's just smart. It's just business. It's smart business to realize the other company spent the money rehearsing them. Let's give them a shot. And so far, so great. It's so great. I'm so elated to see people able to move up for whatever reason.
On the line with us is Gisella Adisa. Gisella currently stars as John Adams in the national tour of 1776, The Musical, a reimagined production of the Tony Award-winning musical that features an all-female cast that also reflects multiple representations of race, gender, and ethnicity. For our listeners in the greater San Francisco Bay Area, you can see 1776 the Musical at the Center for Performing Arts in San Jose through Sunday, May 21st. For our listeners everywhere else, 1776 will be coming to Durham, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, Nashville, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., many other cities throughout the summer, with more cities and dates to come. Tickets and more information, 1776musical.com, 1776musical.com.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree for me. I've been an angel all year.
Gisela is mostly known for her work in theater, including productions of Lights Out, Nat King Cole, Lights Out, Nat King Cole being the show in which Gisela played both Eartha Kitt and a very young Natalie Cole. Gisela's screen credits include the Netflix heist series Kaleidoscope, the Starz series Power Book II, Raising Kanan, the CBS series FBI, as well as such acclaimed independent films as Nanny and S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, so Eartha Kitt, Natalie Cole, John Adams, all three people who actually existed versus fictional characters. When you play a person who actually existed versus someone who a writer created for the stage or film or whatever, do you approach playing that person differently, or do you approach it the same, or does it depend on the character and the venue?
It depends on the work. It depends on what their concept is. I mean, you could beat yourself, you know, silly worrying about, am I getting the voice right and the mannerisms right and their laugh right? Am I getting the right? But what?
I would say you did. For Eartha Kitt, I would say you got that right.
Thank you. Well, thank you. So, it's been a while since I've done that voice. That was rusty.
Yeah.
But Lights Out, Nat King Cole, that piece was co-written by Coleman Domingo, who is an actor who's known for Fear the Walking Dead and If Beale Street, I think it's If Beale Street Could Talk?
If Beale Street Could Talk, yeah.
A bona fide movie and TV star. He co-wrote it with Patricia McGregor, who also directed it. Dulé Hill played Nat. Oh, perfect. Mm-hmm. A perfect Nat. Daniel Watt played Sammy Davis Jr. Zanya Love played his, Nat's mother, and a bunch of other roles. And it was like a tour de force ensemble piece, one act, just like fever dream that Nat was having. So the fact that it was a dream that he was having was kind of a permission to not be so literal about being Natalie. Like, I am years old.
Mm-hmm.
Me playing a 15-year-old Natalie who ages within one scene and then sings Unforgettable with Dulé as Nat. You know, ordinarily I'd say, this is ridiculous. I'm mature. I shouldn't be playing this role. But I'm gonna play that role if it means I get to sing a duet with Dulé Hill, okay? So I gladly, you know, took it on. I looked up some information, and there's more than enough because Natalie and Eartha were, you know, recent icons, and we have video and we have recordings, and we have, you know, the interviews were really, really informative for me of Eartha. But when you have a dream, and this is just a little bit of human psychology, when you're dreaming and you see people you know that are in your everyday life, in your dream, it's actually projections of you.
Yeah.
It's a combination of them and your subconscious idea of them than it is them. So I said, oh, well, okay, well, maybe Nat's idea of Eartha is extremely sexualized. You know, there was a bit of tension there.
Mm-hmm.
His wife did not care for Eartha. and that's, like, well documented. So I played up the part of Eartha that are more familiar, even if in 1957, those are things that people didn't know her for, really. But our idea today of Eartha, I mixed it with the 1957 Eartha, and it made sense.
Yeah.
And the creative team was happy with it. The audience seemed to get it, and that's how I did it. I don't know how people do it who are in a film. I've yet to do that. That to me is really challenging because people take film and TV so literally that there's very little room for artistic license. They really want that person to look like that person, right down to the complexion. So I'm relieved that I had a chance to play these historical figures and these icons, but I'm also relieved it was on a stage.
I have a feeling you're going to get an opportunity to play a historical figure in a film project one of these days.
Oh, my gosh. From your lips. From your lips to Hollywood's ears. Okay. Once their strike is over, yeah.
There you go. Final question for now. I understand one of your favorite TV shows as a kid was The Muppet Show, and that you had a certain ritual that you did every time you watched the show with your family.
Yes. Looking back, you know, when you look back and you say, oh, I should have known from this and that and this other core memory that I was going to be interviewing people, or I had a knack for talking to total strangers and getting them to talk about their favorite childhood memories and TV shows. And you look back on your life and you go, yep, that's one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
My parents should have known right then and there not to waste the money on the private school. And for me, it's watching The Muppets. Looking back, I don't have a lot of childhood memories, but that's a happy one. I don't remember what day it was, but it was back in the day when people would still gather around the cathode ray tube, like an actual square TV, not a flat screen, not, you know, an iPad, and all would get, you know, together in a living room and sit on the floor, sit on your mom or dad's lap and watch a TV show together. And they'd already be sitting there knowing full well that this fool would be coming around the corner in our apartment in New Jersey. And, you know, they had to turn it on, and I wouldn't come out. Like, the curtain didn't go up for me until I heard the theme song, you know, and I didn't know it then, but I was like, what? Yeah. Looking back, I would do the same moves, you know, that was my choreography. I had a whole pre-show thing. And then, of course, I would watch the show and enjoy it. But looking back, I realized, like, oh, I was always a performer. Always.
I don't do impressions, but if I did, I would summon my Kermit the Frog and say, yay!
I like to think I do a good Goofy.
Yeah.
That's a different like, gorge. But I'm a mezzo-soprano, so maybe not.
Yeah.
But yeah, happy core memories.
Gisela,
thank you for bringing that up.
Gisela Adisa, you're welcome, plays John Adams in the national tour of 1776, the musical, which is currently playing at the Center for Performing Arts in San Jose through Sunday, May 21st, and which is scheduled to come to Durham, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, Nashville, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., many other cities throughout the summer. For tickets, more information, 1776musical.com, 1776musical.com. Gisela Gisa, this was a lot of fun. I hope we'll have a chance to chat with you one of these days on TV Confidential again.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
We'll take a look at this week in TV history right after this. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.